going to be dealing tonight with Hebrews chapter number 3, looking at the first 6 verses. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In chapters 1 and 2, Christ has been shown to be superior to angels. And in chapters 3 and 4, Christ is shown to be worthy of more glory than Moses. Christ is the apostle and high priest of the believer's confession. Moses was a very important character in Jewish history, and it was through Moses' leadership that God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. It was also through Moses that God gave the law. Furthermore, God used Moses to lead the nation of Israel during the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And God also used Moses to write the first 5 books of the Bible. Moses was faithful, but he was only a servant in God's house, whereas Christ was faithful as a son over God's house. Therefore, believers should hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope they have in Christ firm unto the end. This exhortation was necessary because there may have been some professing believers who had not yet actually placed their faith in Christ. Likewise, some of the Israelites demonstrated their unbelief when they came out of Egypt and rebelled at Kadesh Barnea. In view of the fact that Christ has been shown to be superior to angels, the readers are called on in verse 1 to take note that Christ is the apostle and high priest of our confession. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. When the word translated wherefore appears at the beginning of a clause, as it does in this verse, it means therefore or hence. Holy brethren is holy brothers, brothers who are dedicated to God, or brothers who are set apart for God. The writer is thus addressing those who have set themselves apart as believers, or who have been set apart by the Holy Spirit for God's use. There was no doubt in the writer's mind that these people were genuinely saved, as partakers of the heavenly calling indicates. Partakers is sharers in or participants in, and what they partook of was the heavenly calling or the heavenly invitation. This suggests that they had participated in salvation in that they were called by God the Father. This is the effectual call by which believers are drawn to salvation, mentioned in John 6:44, where Jesus said, "No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." And every one of us who has been saved has been drawn by God the Father to Jesus. As a group, these people were saved people. Yet there may have been a few of them who had not yet been genuinely converted. Consider is a command, which means notice or fix the eyes of your spirit upon. And what they were to consider was the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Jesus is thus referred to as the apostle and high priest of our profession. Apostle means ambassador, delegate, or messenger, and refers to one sent on a mission. As the apostle of our profession, Jesus was sent on a mission by God the Father in order that he might die on the cross and thereby pay for the sins of all humanity. Thus, Jesus represented God the Father before humanity and revealed him to humanity. Jesus is also the high priest, and as the high priest, he offered his own self as a sacrifice for sins. Today, he ever lives to make intercession for believers. And as the high priest of our profession, Jesus represents believers before God the Father. The word "the" is understood with both apostle and high priest in the Greek text. This indicates that he is not merely one of many apostles or one of many high priests. He is the only apostle sent out by God, and he is the only high priest of believers. Our profession is our confession or our acknowledgement that we make, and it refers to the reader's profession of salvation as believers. Believers confess, profess, or acknowledge that Christ shed his blood on the cross at Calvary in dying for their sins, and that he rose again from the dead the third day. And they confess that they have placed their trust in him as Savior. Lest there be any question as to whom the writer is referring as being the apostle and high priest of our profession, he names him as Christ Jesus. Now, there is no significant difference between Christ Jesus and Jesus Christ other than emphasis. This is true in Greek. In English, it doesn't seem to make that much difference. But in Greek, placing Christ before Jesus, by doing that, the writer emphasized the name Christ, meaning the portion of his name meaning Messiah or Anointed One. And he does this rather than emphasizing the name of Jesus, the portion of his name meaning safety, saving, or salvation. So when you see the name Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus, whichever name is first, is being emphasized. We also note as we move on in verses 2-6 that Moses was faithful as a servant in God's house, whereas Christ was faithful as a son over God's house. And we see this in verses 2-6. In verses 2-6, a contrast is seen between the Lord Jesus Christ and Moses. Moses was indeed faithful, but Moses was not in the exalted position which Christ occupied. Moses was only a human leader of the nation of Israel, whereas Jesus is God. We read in verses 2-6, "Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ has a son over his own house. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? In verse 2, Jesus, as described by who was faithful to him that appointed him, who refers to Christ, was faithful suggests was dependable, was trustworthy, or was reliable, and it was to him that appointed him that Jesus was faithful, meaning it was to God the Father that Jesus was faithful. As also Moses was faithful in all his house, indicates that just as Christ was faithful to God the Father, Moses was likewise faithful to God the Father. Moses did not shirk his responsibilities. Also suggests, in addition to Christ, and implies that Christ was not the only faithful one. Whereas Christ was faithful to God the Father who appointed him, Moses was faithful in all his house, meaning in all God's house, rather than in all Moses' own house. Here, house suggests the nation of Israel, or the people of God. As we move into verse 3, we read, "For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house." 4 introduces a new step in the logic of the passage, and it's understood in the sense of now. This man is literally this one, and refers to Christ Jesus. Was counted worthy of is was considered worthy of or was deserving of. And its tense indicates that its action was completed in the past with its result continuing on. He was worthy in the past and he's still worthy later on. In addition, its passive voice suggests that someone else has considered him worthy, and this someone else has to be God the Father. He is the only one competent to evaluate Christ's worth properly. Thus, God the Father considered Jesus to be deserving and still considers him to be deserving. And what Christ has been considered worthy or deserving of is more glory than Moses. Glory has to do with splendor or majesty. Now, Moses was indeed worthy of a great deal of glory. Nevertheless, no matter how much glory Moses deserved as the leader of the Exodus, the lawgiver, a man greatly used by God to lead the nation of Israel throughout the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and the writer of the first 5 books of the Bible, the glory of which Moses was considered worthy is not to be compared with the glory of which Christ has been considered worthy, inasmuch as is simply just as. He who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house is a statement intended to show that Christ has more honor than Moses. He who hath builded is the one who has constructed or the one who has built. It means that he's a builder and the house is what he has built. The one who has done the work and who has done it well is to be praised for his work. He will get the credit due him for building such a wonderful house. In this house, God the Father, as the Creator, is the builder, and the house is the nation of Israel. Whereas God the Father built the house, Moses was merely part of the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. For introduces the explanation of the last half of verse 3. Every house is builded by some man. It's a general truth. If there is a house, somebody had to build it. Some man is simply someone or somebody. But introduces a contrast. He that built all things is God. Indicates that the one who has erected all things or constructed all things is God the Father rather than Christ. Even though Christ is the creator, God the Father directed the creation. Jesus was the intermediate agent in the creation. The Father was the direct agent. All things is all-inclusive. Nothing is accepted. If it was built, God built it. Although it is true that Christ is God, the author is not attempting to show this here. He could have written that Christ is superior to Moses because Christ is God and because Moses is a mere human being. However, this is not the logic of the writer in these verses. Even though it is true, he is not arguing that Christ is superior to Moses because he is God. He is arguing that Christ is the son of the one who built the house. And as the son, he is worthy of more glory than a servant in the house. As we move into verse number 5, we see, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Verse 5 returns to the thought of verse 2 regarding Moses. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant. And verily is emphatic, meaning and indeed, and in fact, or and certainly. Faithful is the same word translated faithful in verse 2, meaning dependable, trustworthy, or reliable. In all his house is in his whole house, in his complete house, or in his entire house, where his refers to God the Father. Moses' position is then contrasted with Christ's position. Moses was faithful as a servant. This is in contrast with Christ's faithfulness as a son in verse 6. Servant means attendant, and it's a term of dignity and freedom rather than merely a bond slave. Moses' faithfulness as a servant provided a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. For a testimony is for a proof or for something which serves as a testimony. It may instead refer to the testimony or to the proof itself. For is used in the sense of for the purpose of the things which were to be spoken after is of the things which shall have been spoken in the future, or of the things which shall be spoken in the future. In this sense, the future is now. Over 3,000 years later, believers can look back on Moses and conclude that he indeed was faithful as a servant in all God's house. And then we move into verse number 6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Verse 6 provides a contrast to verse 5 as is indicated by but Christ as a son over his own house. Christ is mentioned in contrast to Moses. The reader must supply was faithful from verse 5 or is faithful from the context. Christ was faithful as a son over his own house. The word translated his own is the same word translated his in verse 5. There is no separate word there for own. The King James translators have translated this in a way which suggests that this house is Christ's house. However, the Greek text merely says his house, and his may just as well refer to God the Father as to Christ, and fits the context better. This means that verse 6 is a reference to the same house as verse 5. Whereas Moses had been faithful in God's house in his capacity as a servant, Christ was faithful in God's house in his capacity as a son. An adult son, of course, is higher in position than a servant or attendant. Also, the servant or attendant was merely a part of the household, but the son ruled over the household. Therefore, Jesus is worthy of more glory than Moses. The rest of verse 6 indicates that continuing to hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end is a proof that one has been saved. It is not a condition for salvation. In whose house are we? Whose refers to God the Father. It is God the Father's house and is ruled over by Christ. House, as in verse 2, suggests God's people. Are we indicates something that is presently true, something that is a present reality rather than a future possibility. We refers to professing believers and is emphatic. It indicates that, in the writer's view, the ones to whom he is writing are genuinely saved. There is no doubt in his mind that they are genuinely saved. Believers are God's house, whereas unbelievers are not God's house. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end is a condition which may or may not prove to be true. However, it's very possible. An ending is placed on the Greek word translated if in order to intensify it so that its meaning is if indeed. If indeed we hold fast means if indeed we retain or if indeed we retain faithfully. And we refers to those professing salvation. Hold fast is the same word translated hold in verse 14 and means retain faithfully or keep. What believers hold fast is the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope. The confidence is the courage, the boldness, the fearlessness, or the joyfulness, and introduces a second thing believers hold fast. It is the rejoicing of the hope, literally the boast of the hope. And this would seem to be either the gospel itself or the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and suggests the hope of one's eternal salvation. believers holding fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope means that they continue believing. They are to hold fast this confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Firm, when used literally, means permanent, but when used figuratively, as it is in this verse, it means reliable, dependable, or certain. Unto the end suggests forever or throughout all eternity. Because of this condition, some have erroneously concluded that believers may lose their salvation. In their view, which is erroneous, if believers do not continue to hold fast the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end, they will lose their salvation. However, this is not the case. If the condition of holding fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end is met, if the condition is met, then this signifies that they are God's house right now, at the present time. To suggest that believers could lose their salvation would require a future tense of are rather than a present tense, so that the whose house are we would have to be whose house we shall be. But it's not whose house we shall be if we hold fast the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. It's whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. By contrast, if the condition of holding fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end is not met, then they are not now and never have been God's house. You understand that? Once you figure this verse out, it'll help you forever with eternal security. The tense of are indicates something that is true right now. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end, we are God's house. But if we do not hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end, then we are not God's house. It means you've never been saved in the first place. In other words, if the condition is negated, the result of the condition must also be negated. Thus, continuing to trust in the gospel is the proof of one's salvation rather than the condition of it. If someone is genuinely saved, he will continue trusting Christ. But if he falls away from his trust, it will be a demonstration that he was never saved in the first place. There is no hint here that genuine believers might lose their salvation. If any of these Jews who are professing salvation abandons his hope in Christ, it will demonstrate that his profession did not constitute genuine saving faith. We see that those who continue to believe the gospel are part of God's house, and that it speaks of the eternal security of believers. By contrast, we see that those who no longer believe the gospel were never part of God's house in the first place, in spite of their profession. Now, there must be something wrong with our clock, because it says that I'm about 20 minutes early. Can you believe it? Well, if I had taken the next six verses, which I intend to take next week, it wouldn't be 20 minutes early, but it might be 20 or 30 minutes later. And no, I wasn't figuring on, when we had three songs before the message, that two of them were only three stanzas and one of them was only two stanzas, and it doesn't take quite as long to sing a total of eight stanzas as it does if there are all four or five, which would be 12 or 14 verses and double the time. Thank you for listening to my palaver as I went on here at the end. Remember, Christ is better than Moses. And if you've placed your trust in Christ as your Savior, you are eternally secure. And if you haven't, you will not continue to believe. Okay? So what does that do for people that think they're saved but live like the devil? I think it brings their salvation into question. That's all. I don't know. I look on the outward appearance. I'm not the final judge. God is. He knows. I don't know. But I sure have no problem believing that godly people are genuinely saved and living for the Lord. And so keep it that way, please, if you will. Let's pray. Then we'll have the ladies come and we'll sing our closing hymn. Our Father, thank you for the opportunity to study thy word. Help us to understand this important section this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.